recording now. Started.
So before we begin the share, I have to tell you, honestly, I had a little bit almost like a mixed feelings by giving the share tonight. Not that I love to give the share. That wasn't the mixed feelings. The mixed feeling when people are busy, people are, you know, the few days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, people are trying to build Sukkot, they're trying to get a little love him. So, you know, it's heavy and hauling. So first of all, it's pouring rain outside, so no one's building a Sukkot right now. So I didn't feel too guilty about taking anyone away from that. But I thought to myself, it's almost not fair to this year. Here we've been learning the entire year, more than a year. We started already before last Sukkot, the Sukkot of Lulav HaGadol. We've been learning the Sukkot of Na'am Minim for well over a year. So the week before Sukkot, just take a week off and not to learn that Sukkot related to Na'am Minim. I thought it just doesn't bode well for this year. So I was Ms. Galber of I don't want to call it Yitzhatovi, it's a hard, I'm not sure which way to call it. I said, no, those I'm after a shift. But then my next challenge was, so what Sukkot should we learn? And the emphasis, we really finished the last Sugya now. I was thinking we'll start another Sugya now. Next week, hopefully, Mitzvah will have special Chol HaMoed, a series of Shiurim. So I understand. I thought, you know what? It's always in Chazara. So we're going to, I can't say we're going to Chaz everything we've learned over the last 14 months in one small Shia. But I thought we'll try to do is, it's almost like touch a little bit here and there on different Rashi Prokim, things that we've talked about to kind of almost put things into proper perspective in terms of the Mitzvah of Da'al Minim. And I really want to focus on really almost three distinct zmanim of the Mitzvah of Da'al Minim. Now, most years, we actually have three out of those, three zmanim. This year, we only have two, and I'll explain to you in a moment why. And Chen Ibn Eisoner, we really only have one. So let's see, let's try to get a little better sense what I mean in terms of this distinct zmanim, and then how this plays out halacha l'maaseh for us. So of course, the starting point is the Pasuk in Chumash and Parshas, Emor l'kachta b'chem b'yam harishon. Everybody agrees, the Mishnah tells us explicitly about Masechet Sukkah, that the mitzvah the Araisa of Lulav in the entire world is the first day of Sukkot. Kacha Be'am Arishon, that's it. That's the mitzvah the Araisa. That's Zman number one. It goes without saying that that's going to be the most chomer of all the Zmaniyah mitzvahs. That is the mitzvah the Araisa. However, those of us who live in Chutz Laaretz, although this morning we had one of our members of our Israeli Shir on, right now, it's 4:30 in the morning. I don't even see him on the shiur right now. It looks like all B'nai Chutz La'aretz are done tonight's shiur. So for B'nai Chutz La'aretz, there is an additional mitzvah that is the mitzvah Sfeika D'Yoma. The same way that we have a mitzvah Sfeika D'Yoma on all other aspects of Yom Tov, we make Kiddush on Sfeika D'Yoma, and we eat matzah on Sfeika D'Yoma, and we even do sukkah on Shmini Atzeres on the Sfeika D'Yoma of Hoshana Rabbah. The same way that we perform all the other mitzvahs of Sfeika D'Yoma. Sfeika D'Yoma is not just for Isurim of Malacha, but it applies for mitzvahs as well. So too, there's a mitzvah to be Noita L'Lulav of Sfeika D'Yoma on the second day, we call, of course, the second day of Sukkot. That mitzvah is only a mitzvah Midrabanan, since Midaraisa, the second day, does not have Kedushas Hayom, is not considered to be Yom HaRishon. In the olden days, it was considered to be a Sufek, and even then, it's probably wasn't the real suffering that a love of Deraisa. The Gemara says that Rov Yehaz Chodesh El only had 29 days. It was a little bit of a Yaitim in a cloud. El would have 30 days. And therefore, the people who lived in Chutz Laaretz were pretty sure that they had it right in terms of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkot, etc. Proof positive that we don't observe a Sfeika D'Yoma for Yom Kippur. So that shows that we really, in our heart of souls, really always believed that we had it right on the first day. But since there was a chance that we were wrong, Chazal instituted that you have to observe the Sfeika D'Yoma. But again, that's only Midrabanan B'Zman. In the olden days, it was probably Midrabanan B'Zman. That's for sure Midrabanan. It's not even a question. The Gemara says that we know exactly when the calendar is. We're not relying on the Edim anymore. We have a set calendar. So for us, Sfeika D'Yoma is for sure only Midrabanan. So the mitzvah that tells Lulav, this Sunday, well, hey, Rabban HaMikdash, we'll be back in Eretz Yisrael, and then there will be Sfeika D'Yoma. But if we find for some chance there's still Chutz Laaretz, then we're going to be out to the mitzvah of Sfeika D'Yoma on Sunday. So we have the mitzvah D'Araisa of Kach Kamei Merishan. Then we have the mitzvah, on a normal year, we have the mitzvah D'Rabbanan of the Sfeika D'Yoma. And then after that, we have an entirely different mitzvah. That's the mitzvah that appears in the Mishnah in the third parak of Masechet Sukkah, V'shechar Beis HaMikdash, Hizkei Rabbi Yechman Zakeh, Shei Lulav Nitl Kol Shiva Zeich LaMikdash. But after the Chorban, Rabbi Yechman Zakeh was Masakin, that you have to take the Lulav the entire week. That's only a mitzvah Midrabbanan. So Eretz Yisrael, obviously, they never have that middle mitzvah number two. And this year, nobody has the first mitzvah because the first day of Yisukkot, of course, falls 7. about the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar that we didn't have Minat Torah this year because it was the first day of Shabbos. So too, Chazal Oikin, the mitzvah of Netilas Lulav as well, for the exact same reason of Gzeirah D'Rabbah, Shem Yavrenu Da'al Abbas. We're afraid you make up to carry the Lulav by mistake. So again, in a normal year in Chutzlot, you have three mitzvahs, first day, second day, then subsequent days. Normally in Eretz Yisrael, you have two mitzvahs, first day and subsequent days. This year, nobody has the first day. Chutzlot has two and three, and Eretz Yisrael only has mitzvah number three. The question is, does this, any of this really matter in terms of practically speaking? Is this going to impact on what Aluv and Esrog is going to look like? Any halachas that differ? Do we say it's one mitzvah, they're ice and they're bonus figure, whatever you want to call it, but basically all the rules are the same. So it's very, very clear, according to Summer Shalom, it's very, very clear that there are some very, very significant differences between these different mitzvahs. So one very important difference, I mean, that we spoke a lot about last year, beginning of the Lulav. I see some of the old Tamidim on also from the Sukkah day. So we spent weeks and months talking about this in different Gilgulim. That the Gemara tells us at the beginning of the third Pechah Maseches Sukkah that although there's a din in HaTorah, Lekachtem Lachem, that the Lulav Esrog has to belong to you. There's a din of Lachem. That din of Lachem that has to belong to you does not apply after the first day, or at least let's leave out the second day for a second. Does not apply after the first day. It's only a din kal kamei of rishon, only on the first day of Sukkot. So there is a machlekes a rishonim about what exactly does that mean when the Gemara says that the din of lachem doesn't apply after the first day. What exactly is the Gemara talking about? So the actuality is there really is a fourth aspect of the mitzvah that I should have mentioned. Unfortunately, I forgot about it because it's not knowing for us most probably. And that's the mitzvah of lulav b'mikdash kol shiva. The Mishnah says that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa of taking the lulav and esrog every day in the base of mikdash. There is a famous sheet of Rambam where the Rambam claims that this may apply to the halachic city of Yerushalayim as well. So it's possible that this mitzvah may be performed by those few of us who were zoicha to be in the old city this sukkis. But most of us, again, maybe by the mikdash, but the way, you know, as of right now we're not there. And even if we would be there, it's not clear that mitzvah derais actually applies in the old city. It could be that's only limited to the basic mikdash proper. That seems to be shittas Rashi. But putting that aside, when the Gemara says in the beginning of the third bracket of Sukkah that the din of lachem doesn't apply after the first day, so there is a machlekes rishonim, what does that mean exactly? Does that mean the mitzvah, the araisa of lulav b'mikdash, that even though there's a deraisa tikka mitzvah on the first day and a deraisa tikka mitzvah on the sixth day, but only the deraisa tikka din of the first day requires lachem? Is that what the Gemara means? Lekachtem lachem b'yem erishon is literally only going on erishon. Even though minat Torah you have to shake a lulav every day of Chol HaMoed in the mikdash, or shalim, whatever you think mikdash means, but there is no din of lachem. So that's what some rishonim hold. So many, many rishonim hold that way. What's the lumdus in that? Why should there be such a difference? This is a mitzvah deraisa. Why should it be that the din of lachem changes? So again, it could be just exercise of kachem lachem yom rishon, that the word lachem is only going on yom rishon. That's one possibility. But there may be more to it than that. So that's what the Rambam seems to say. Zolti develops a whole yisod that the mitzvah of lulav kol shiva b'mikdash may be a different kind of a mitzvah than the mitzvah of tilas lulav on the first day. The mitzvah on the first day is the mitzvah slakicha. So the din of lakicha you have to take. So lakicha means not just to physically take. Lakicha means like dinim amunus. You have to be lakech, like lakicha kicha, like sakinyan. Lakachtem lachem, it has to be nikta to you. So on the first day when there's a mitzvah lakicha sluvi esrog, so then there's a din of lachem. After the first day, even though there's a mitzvah deraisa to shake the lulav esrog, I don't mean literally shake, but to take the lulav esrog in the base of mikdash, even though there is a mitzvah deraisa, no question it's a mitzvah deraisa, it's a different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah smachtem of nesha lakech shivis yavim. It's a bezundra mitzvah, it's a different mitzvah, and it's governed by different rules. So it could be that the din of lachem will chap an afkamina even on a level of deraisa because the nature of the mitzvah is very, very different. And other Rishonim disagree with this. Other Rishonim say that it's not true. Taisa seems to say that if we would be dealing with the mitzvah deraisa of lulav, then there would be lachem. Lachem is the same. Whenever the din deraisa don't change from one day to the next, there is a requirement of lachem. But the Gemara says there's no din of lachem after the first day. What that means is, for us, we who are shaking a lulav midrabbana al zeichel mikdash. So when Rabbi Yechim and Zakeh made the takon of zeichel mikdash, he didn't pattern it 100% after the base of mikdash itself. He doesn't have to mimic 1,000% base of mikdash. when you're dealing with the mitzvah d'oraisa of the first day, so that's kachtam lechem b'yamarishan. So we have to fulfill the din of yamarishan. It has to be lechem. When you're shaking a lulav in Bergenfield on day three, so then I'm not doing kach lechem b'yamarishan. I'm not even doing a smachtam finishim akechem. I'm doing a zeicher to smachtam finishim akechem. So when you do a zeicher to smachtam finishim akechem, there is no need to follow all the details. As long as you get the basic tzura, I mean, you can't just, you know, pick up a stuffed lulav and esrog, you know, and say, I'm remembering the Beis HaMikdash. You can't just look at a picture and say, I remember the Beis HaMikdash. You have to do an atilas lulav, but that some of the details are not necessary to be met, and therefore there is no requirement to have lachem. So machlekes rishayim, whether the hafkah with the p'tur of lachem that appears in the Gemara after the first day, is that even within the structure of a mitzvah d'oraisa, or is that only legabe the mitzvah d'rabbanan? What would the rationale of that be? Why should it be? Why did Rabbi Yechman Zakkai institute the mitzvah such a strange way that if you're mimicking the Beis HaMikdash, so why don't you mimic it perfectly? Why chiluk and why distinctions? That's what the Biskarav has a beer in his Chedushim Maseches Menaches, that when Chazal institutes Zeichel HaMikdash, sometimes Zeichel HaMikdash is the impetus for instituting a mitzvah d'Rabbanan, and sometimes Zeichel HaMikdash is the mitzvah proper. Sometimes Chazal wanted us to remember the Beis HaMikdash, so because of that important, significant halachic and hashkafic reason of remembering the Beis HaMikdash, they instituted a mitzvah d'Rabbanan. And the name of the mitzvah d'Rabbanan is the Tilas Lulav. That's one way of learning. Or no, that it's not that because of Zeichel HaMikdash they instituted a mitzvah Tilas Lulav. The mitzvah is Zeichel HaMikdash. The essence of the mitzvah is to remember the Beis HaMikdash. Alawat, achareya pa'ula simshchu alavavos, like the Sefer Chinuch writes. We don't just tell people just to think things. You have to do actions. The actions will help you reach a certain state of mind. So when you, you have very often in halacha, you have things that are really kum shebelev. It's really something shebelev. But when you express things either verbally or through actions, so that strengthens what you resolve is. That creates the kum shebelev. So that's one way of understanding Zeichel HaMikdash. The Chazal didn't really care about the shaking of a lulav. That's not really what's important. Is that through the shaking of a lulav on day three, I'm going to ask, what am I doing this for? Says the Chumash on the first day. Oh, they used to be a Beis HaMikdash. So the real mitzvah is the Zeicher Shemikdash Shabbai, not the Tilas Lulav Shabbai. That's what the Brisky Rav says. If you hold that the nature of the mitzvah d'Rabbanan is the Tilas Lulav, Zeicher HaMikdash was the reason why they instituted a mitzvah for the Tilas Lulav, then of course the Tilas Lulav is going to have the same rules as it has on the first day. That's called the Tilas Lulav. It has to be Lachem. But if you hold that it's not a mitzvah of Tilas Lulav, the Tilas Lulav is just a way to reach the darga, the stage of Zeichel HaMikdash, but the essence, encapsulation of the mitzvah is Zeichel HaMikdash, so then that will explain why some of the details might fall by the wayside. I don't need the Lulav to belong to me to remember the Beis HaMikdash. As long as I have a Lulav, that reminds me of the Beis HaMikdash. So you have this nuance of difference between the first day and subsequent days. Again, for us, so Kuliyamu Lepligi, that there is no din of Lachem. After the first day, those who live in Eretz Yisrael, those who, very few, to make it to the Old City this year, but those who are in the Old City who want to be cheshish for the Rambam Shita, so if they want to be cheshish for the Rambam Shita, combining that with Tosis Chumra, that you have to own it, so then they'll make sure they own a Lulav and Esrog. It's not enough just to borrow a Lulav and Esrog. Remember, my son told me last year that he went to the Kosa one day, there's a famous Chumra that the person goes, say, davened, every davened somewhere else in Yerushalayim earlier in the day, and then he went from Mincha time to the Kosa. I told him he should be chayshesh to take a lulav. He should shake the lulav again, be sofek, because according to the Rambam, when you're standing by the kosel, that's called mikdash. It's the halachically old part of Yerushalayim. And you chayim in a teyuh, the fact that you shook lulav in matastof 6 hours earlier, that doesn't help you. That's not called halachic Yerushalayim. So I told him, like the Rechonair writes in a tshuva, that you should tell everyone, whoever's in the old city, they should try to remember to shake a lulav lechadchil without a bracha. So if I'm not mistaken, I think he told me that he didn't want to schlep his own lulav with him. He figured, I'll get the deal. That's one of the Chabadniks. That's somebody that borrowed a lulav in Esrog. So I was pummeling. Wait a second, a borrow? You may have to make him a ton of slachachzer. According to the machmir with the machmir, according to Tais, the Rambam Taka holds you down. But according to Tais, the sheet, the combined with the Rambam sheet about Yerushalayim, so you come with a fascinating chumra that you have to mamish own your lulav in Esrog in the old city on the subsequent days of Chol HaMoed. Where does the second mitzvah fit into this picture in terms of ownership? What's the status of the Bnei Chutz Laretz on Sunday this year, Mitzvah Shem? So So is that considered to be like the first day that you mamish have to own it? Or is that considered to be like subsequent days that you don't have to own it? So that's a suffix in the Ran. The Ran is not sure. When Chazal instituted the second day of Yontif that you have to shake a lulav, did they institute it with all the pratim on the first day? Did they say with all the chumras, whatever chumras guide the first day, guide the second day as well in terms of sfeikat yoma? Or do I say no? That the second yom is only sfeikat yoma, so that they said no, all the chumras are their ices, lachems, all the other chumras potentially don't apply. So we try to be machmir in that. We pass in that whatever halachas govern the first day should really govern the second day as well, for b'nei chutz laretz. So therefore, once you try to be machmir on lachem, so if for some reason you don't have a lulav this year, when you quote unquote borrow a lulav from somebody, it should be clear that they're giving to you as a matanah as lahachzir on the first day. For sure you have to do it that way. And even really on the second day, that would be the correct thing to do. Not everyone agrees to that, but that would be the more correct thing to do. Do a derech matanah as lahachzir. For this reason, that one should be careful when giving a lulav to a katan. Famous Gemara in Sukkah tells us that when you give a lulav to a katan on Sukkah, before you shake it yourself, it's in the first day. Subsequent days, it doesn't matter. But on the first day, if you give it to the katan first, when he gives it back to you, that's a huge problem. Because the katan has the ability to acquire something in halacha. The katan has very, very limited means to transfer it back to you. So although there is a big machlekes, we've shown him what exactly the problem is. Is it that he's called him in the Torah? Is it a problem that he's called him in the Rabbanon? There's a lot of lumdas to that, but we'll leave out all the nuances of the Dina Mamnus right now. The bottom line is the Gemara says the Feirush in Sukkah that you shouldn't give your lulav to your katan before you shake it yourself, because otherwise he won't be able to transfer it back to you. So let's say if you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's in a regular year, on the first day, as long as you shook already, then you can give it to your katan, it's no problem, because for tomorrow it was already first day Cholamayit in Eretz Yisrael, there's no din of lachem l'cholades, unless you go into the kosel later in the afternoon, the machmir. But in chutz laretz, you have to always be mindful of this, bein in the first day, bein for the second day, because let's say I shook a lulav first, and then 2 o'clock, after I give it to my 10-year-old kid, and he tries to give it back to me, that's very questionable whether he has the koach to be back to me. And if he can't be back to me, so that's a potential red flag, possible red flag. And that would pose a problem potentially for the second day. I didn't say for sure, but that may pose a problem for the second day. So that's a shayla in Rishayim altogether, whether the din of lachem carries over for us in the chutz laretz on the sake of the aim of this Sunday. Again, I'm trying to avoid that. Yeah.
If the katan's mitzvah even on the first day is only midrabanan, so why do I have to makna it to him? I'm just giving it to him, and he doesn't have to makna it to me. He doesn't have to own it.
Oh, very good, excellent. That's a loaded question. So that's the machlokes, the Ritva and the Mordechai. So the Mordechai says exactly what Dr. Fisher is saying, is that there's no need for me to give it to the katan. The Gemara is just telling you don't give it to the katan, but the Gemara is not telling you that you would have thought you had to. According to the Mordechai, Taka, don't give it to the katan, and you're much safer. Just lend it to him. And the Mordechai says, doesn't the katan have to shake it out for chinuch? So he says, yeah, but who says that for chinuch you have to actually own it? Chinuch, you just have to basically be a little bit, so it doesn't have to be perfect with all the details. And the Ritva and the Beizim Masechet Sukkah brings a raya from the sugya of the Sukkah of Hilni Amalka, the very, very famous sugya in the Beizim Sukkah. There, the Gemara seems to say that in order to be yetzei chinuch properly, it has to be kosher b'chol pratev b'chol ditukev b'chol resev. It means you can't just stop play games for chinuch. Chinuch has to be that you're replicating the mitzvah properly. If the chetash of mitzvah is not acceptable for a gadol, then it wouldn't be acceptable for a katan either. And so the Mishnah Berurah quotes these two opinions. This is the shaila. That's why some people get a little bit nervous about this. So again, it's not the end of the world. Those who rely on the Mordechai, but not all the Rishayim agree to this. So I had a fascinating shaila. My son called me today from Eretz Yisrael. Called me to fascinating shaila. So as you can imagine, the purchasing of the Lav and Esregim is being done very, very different than it's done under normal circumstances. So he told me that he ran out of his dira to maybe 30 feet within the kilometer, to the fastest, quickest, first table in a sense. He said it went early in the morning before there were any semblance of any crowds or anything. He ran, chick-chock, and he ran and got himself a little Vanessa. So one of his dira mates, also apparently ran and bought his little Vanessa, came back, and then him and my son was a good brisketeer, they were talking. They said, wait a second, his roommate had paid for the little Vanessa with a credit card. I guess it was done right. I guess even in lockdown, they still take credit cards on the street. So his roommate had paid with a credit card. Almost a big, what's a big star player for a credit card? It was that famous Yeshiva Shechumra. not a crazy chumra, but a very well-known yeshivish chumra, not to buy dalamim with a credit card. Why not? My high, what's the problem with a credit card? Because we want to make sure that the dalaminim are lachem, 100% lachem, li shum sofek whatsoever. So when you pay with credit card, it could be a little bit of a pickbook on the lachem for the following reason. The Gemara says that the men we shed in Paskin in the fourth brekha of Metzia that made a Torah, you can only buy movable objects with kesef. You can't really purchase them with just picking them up just like that. You have to pay kesef. Now, but the Rabbanim did away kesef, etc. So there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim. Whenever the halacha in a Torah requires something to belong to you, must it be yours with a kinyan deraisa? You have to use the mechanism of kinyanim that the Torah accepts, or can even use kinyanim derabanan to affect ownership that would be valid for deraisa. Chaps nafka minis for the ring you're going to use to get married, chaps nafka minis for the yesrig, and maybe for the matzah. A general loaded question, way beyond the scope of the tonight's shiur, but a general question called whether kinyanim derabanan mahana lederaisa. So according to the Machmirim, that kinyanim derabanan don't work for deraisas, so then one could raise the question, is a credit card really going to work? Because a credit card, technically, you didn't pay cash. Now, truth to be told, it's going to depend on when the meicher is going to draw from the credit card company. So if the meicher presents to the credit card company immediately and he gets reimbursed very quickly, so I think they can get reimbursed very, very quickly. So if that's the case, that he gets reimbursed before Yontif, so then it turns out kesef was paid, even though you personally didn't pay, but money was laid out. Can you never knine it? Whatever it is, my kesef was paid on your behalf, either through shlichus or kesef, or a knine, or other fancy razzle dazzle alumdus. The bottom line is that a kid in kesef was done. But lavdavka, that's going to happen. Lavdavka, that the moicher is going to be presenting his slips to the credit card company in the next 2 days. So it could be, in theory, when I'm shaking this lulav on the first day of Sukkot, the lulav wasn't really paid for yet. It's on credit. Should the kushal have back offer? So what's the din? So if it's only on credit, again, if you hold that kinyanim derabanan work for deraisas, then it's not a problem. So I had a kinyan hagbonin, so I pick it up. That's a kinyan that's bonding with derabanan, so no big deal. But if you're cheshish, for those rishonim who have this chesh with the shtickle Torah that you need a kinyan deraisa to be yotze deraisa, and hefker bez and hefker isn't good enough, and kinyanim aren't good enough, derabanan aren't good enough, as be yotze deraisa, so one could raise a question, would a credit card really be acceptable? Yeah, I'm not being mighty lads. People pay for dalmin or credit cards. Mikro then I think it's fine for multiple reasons. So one of the tzadim lahokel on the credit card story is, again, the first thought is that the whole thing doesn't exist, the whole chumra. But according to the Machmirim, a good tzad lahokel is that maybe the kinder, the purchaser, acquires a little bit as with the kinyan chotzer. So even though he may not be kinder with the kinyan kesef because the credit card hasn't paid out the money to the moicher yet, and that goes on mid rabbanan. But if anything comes into your property, into your domain, that's a kinyan deraisa. So what's your domain? So let's say if you go, you drive to the store to buy a little esrog, so you take it and you put it into your car. So your car is your kli. So kelev shaladim kinyan light. So that would be good enough, unless your yeshiva bachur in actual does have a car. Number one, or number two, what if you don't own the car? What if you're leasing the car? So that's a big machlekes in Rishonim. If you lease something, you're a seicher, who gets the kinyan kesef? Who gets the kinyan chotzer? Iskiris kanya, iskiris lo kanya, those who are learning psachim with us, either in yeshiva or in kolaboke, have to hang in there for a little while. We spoke a little bit about the mezuzah shaila in the last sugya. Hopefully it's coming further down in that vav, down the line a few weeks and months from now. So that could raise a potential problem. Usually the person comes on the bureau and has to the house. They bring it to your house, it's mamash yours. Unless it's not your house, unless you're renting the house. Like my son and his roommates, they don't own this diran in Bar Ilan. They're renters, they're seichrim. So according to some Rishonim, a seichah doesn't really have a kinyan chatzer. So I was having more fun with them just talking to the alumnus. I was having, I need a little light-headed, I don't know, called Schoik Bekalas Rosh, but the way the world is these days, this is the best Schoik Bekalas Rosh you can pull out. So I was having a good time with them, walking through this Ktsaisim, which is Kanya, like Kanya, and the Kinyan Chotze, Kinyan Deraisa, and Kinyan Meshich, and the Talfan, that whole Chaganya. And then I said to them, listen, guys, I said, first of all, there's no Deraisa this year. I said, it's not, the first day is not Deraisa anyway. I said, it's only Derabanan. It's only a Sveik of the Yom anyway, except for Kinyanim Derabanan, should be sure work for a Mitzvah Derabanan. And then I thought to myself, maybe not, maybe the Ran, because according to the Ran, who says that you have to replicate the deraisas, so So maybe you have to replicate the derises b'chol tokfam. But just as a kinyan derabanan doesn't work for a regular first day, maybe this year won't work for a second day. So I said to this bach, I said, listen, I said, the bottom line is I give you about 20 reasons why I think that you're totally, completely yaitz in the mitzvah of lulav. And even if I'm wrong, it's only speaking to Rabbanan Kula anyway. So I said, I think according to many kinyan derabanan mahalad deraisa, this is not even a real deraisa. I said, it's a good chance that the guy already cashed a credit card thing. Some rishonim hold that hagbo is kind of deraisa anyway. What else can we put out? You have a kinyan chotzer and yadira according to many rishonim chivus is kanya. This is for kinyan chotzer. I have good five good snodim to the yavid. It's okay already. I said, I don't think you have to go risk to make another trip outdoors and go find the meicher and cancel the credit card and go pay for cash. It's a little more dumb. I think you're good to go. So Baruch Hashem, we had a nice little shtickle Torah over the phone. We try to go through some of the sugyas together a little bit. Anyway, getting back to that story. So up until now, we've only been talking about some differences in terms of the time frames, in terms of Lachem. What about all the other dinim of Dal Aminim? There are half a dozen other dinim that potentially disqualify Dal Aminim. How do those play out in terms of differences in the first day, second day, and the subsequent days? So we know that the Mishnayos and the Gemaras are loaded and loaded with details as to what the halachas that govern Dal Aminim are. The basic rule that governs so many of the psulim of Dal Aminim are the psulim of Hidur. So many, many different applications of parts of the Dal Aminim that don't look very pretty. So that's a problem. Why exactly that is that a problem? That's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, the beginning of Luv Gozel. Rashi learns that it's all included in Zekei Levi and Vehu. And Rashi holds that when the psul is so bad, when it's so lacking beauty in Hidur, then Zekeh and Veil becomes actually a posel, even b'diavad. Usually Zekeh and Veil is not a posel b'diavad. When things get really beyond control, so then it becomes actually a posel on a level of the deraisa, even b'diavad. According to Tosfos, all the psulim of not being beautiful are not really based on Zekeh and Veil. Tosfos says Zekeh and Veil was never a posel b'diavad. It says it's exerts a cost of hadar. The Torah describes Esrog as being a priates hadar, and we compare all the Dal Aminim to Esrog. So at the end of the day, being the Rashi, being the Taisvis, things that lack in beauty are going to be a problem. Whether they're rooted in Zekelim and Veh, which is the Din Kloli, a Kol Torah Kula, whether they're rooted in the Din Prati of hadar, that's the first Machlokes is the beginning of Perek Lulav HaGozel. How do you know what is and what's not? Very, very unclear. Was there an absolute tradition of Loch Moshe Sinai, which things disqualify Dal Aminim? So many claim not that way. Many Rishonim, some Rishonim already have such a lashon, the Chachamim have such a lashon, but this is almost like the category of Mesorah Kos of the Chachamim. That very often you have a category in halacha that's a deraisatik statement, but the details are left up to the Chachamim. Like many Rishonim say, Cholamoid is one of these kinds of areas of halacha. That the Torah says Cholamoid has to be a mikra kodesh. The Torah does not delineate which of malachas are also Shabbos. The Torah says malacha, and malacha, based on Torah Shabbat, means Melechas HaMishkan. So it's as if the Rebbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, literally these 39 Melechas. When it comes to Yontif, so Ein Ben Shabbos LeYontif, El Eichel Nefesh Bavad, it's a 39 Melechas, minus a few handful for Eichel Nefesh. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, so the Sefer Chinuch writes this way, Elis writes this way, that the Torah never really told us, the Rebbeinu Shalom never really dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, what you are not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. What was presented to Moshe Rabbeinu was, is that Chol HaMoed is a time of Chagiga, it's a time of Simcha, it's a time of Mikra Kodesh to some degree, and therefore to have Chol HaMoed like a regular day is a bittul mitzvah min HaTorah. How that shape or form plays out, that's L'Masar Kosov El Chacham to be Kaveya. So you have this kind of idea that once Chazal Kaveya the details, that becomes in a sense what the mitzvah Torah is. So that's not a Dirabonim. Dirabonim is like Neiris Chanak, Chazal make up a Din Dirabonim Yesh Me'ayin. L'Masar Kosov El Chacham means it's not even a smach, it's more than a smachta. It's a tzivay ha-teira that Chol HaMoed has to be unique. How the details of that uniqueness express themselves were given over to the Chachmei ha-teira. If once Chazal and Misakein, once they were Magdia, they set up the parameters of what's called Mikra Kodesh, if a person violates those parameters, that's tantamount to violating a Din D'Oraisa. So the Rosh is such an idea when it comes to Dal Aminim also, that the Torah said that the Dal Aminim have to be hotter, they have to be beautiful. What's made beautiful? I think something's beautiful, you think something else is beautiful, so that's kind of hard to tell. So Mesorah Kos L'Chom, so Chazal V'Keveya, the Esrog has a really bad spot on the top of the Esrog, everyone looks at it, oh, that's not so good. So they're in the bottom, not so bad, people don't see as much. So if the lulav is very, very dry, it's at a different shurim, whatever it is, to reach the point of what's called such a degree of lack of hadar, V'Chi Agavna Mesorah Kos L'Chom, and therefore, once Chazal V'Keveya, then it is possible even on a level of Derais. That's how many present. So the details of Ulva Gols were not Mamish Nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu. The concept was Nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Chazal have to plug in the details. Once they plug in the details, they create the details really, then it becomes, that's Nichlal and the Kavanah Satayr of Hadar. So there are a lot of dinim that emanate from a psul of Hadar. Then you have another issue of Chaser, if something is missing, say, Esrog has a bite taken out of it, that's called an Esrog HaChaser, so that's a Machlekes Taisus in Iran. Is that considered to be also part of Hadar? Iran seems to say that there is no independent psul of Chaser. Chaser is just another manifestation of a lack of Hidur. And Taisus seems to say, no, that they're really two different dinim. That Chaser is derived from a different possible Chachtem Lechem Lekichatama. The din is that you have to take all dollar nidim. If you're missing one of the meaning, you're not Yetzei. Machlekes or another. But everyone agrees if you didn't take the Hadassah, you take a Rav, so you're not Yetzei Bechal. That's the Kachtam Lekicha. Tamar has to be a complete, perfect Lekicha. So Taisus writes that just as all four have to be present, each one of the Minim has to be present Bishle Musa. If one of the Minim is missing, that's called Shalom Bishle Musa, that's Shalom B'Milua, and that's called a lack of Lekicha Tama. So again, that's a detailed Machlekes. Everyone agrees that if you have a bite out of the Esrog, it's possible. The Ran claims that's a Chisar, no, pardon, that's a lacking of Hadar. And according to Taisus, that's a different din. That's a din of Chaser. Whatever it is, the din of Chaser only applies on the first day or in Chutzlar to the first 2 days. The din of Chaser for sure does not apply after the first day. That everybody agrees. So that's in the Feirish Gemara. Whether or not that means that all the psulim of Dalaminim also are kosher after the first day, that's a big machlokes. So the first Taisus, the beginning of Lulav Gozel, claims that even though Chazal were makel on the psulei Chaser after the first day, they would never make it on the psulei Hadar. Hadar is worse. Hadar is just so detracts away from the beauty. It's such a zionist of the mitzvah. It takes something that's so ugly looking. So Taisus writes, that's going to be possible the entire week of Sukkot. And other Rishonim disagree. Other Rishonim say no. But the same way Chazal lifted the requirement of Chaser, they would lifted the requirement of Hadar as well. There's a little bit of a throwback to what the Brisker Rav said, that after the first day, or after the first 2 days in Chutzlo, it's only Zechel and Mikdash anyway. And it's a different mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah lulav. It's really a zechel mikdash. So if zechel mikdash doesn't have to be perfect, zechel mikdash could be missing parts also. The Brisker Rav gives a marshal, the Gemara quotes one opinion in Menachos, that when you count Sfiras Ha'ayim of Bizman Hazeh, if Sfiras Olam Midrabanan, you don't have to count the weeks. You just count the days. Why? I didn't count. I'm supposed to. Mitzvah lememni yemi, mitzvah lememni shavuay. So the Brisker Rav says that if the mitzvah would be Sfiras Ha'ayim, then you have to count the entire Sfira. If the mitzvah is just zechel mikdash, so I did a little zechel. I mimicked a little, I made believe it's a mashul. It's enough to remind me of what was going on in the days of the mikdash. So too, if I take an estrogen, it's got a hole in it, what's the big deal? If I take a lube, it's a little bit dried up, what's the big deal? So this was a running machlekes, about whether we're willing to forego al psulim of Hadar. So in Shulchan Aruch, we paskin that it's a machlekes, the mechaber and the Ramah. The mechaber paskin is like the Ramah, not a big surprise, that after the first day, or after the first 2 days of Chutzlot, everything is good. The chasas are good, the hodas are good, everything is good. So whatever problems you have with your lulav is okay. Whereas we, the Ramah, the Ashkenazim, and Machmir, that to assume that even the psuli hodah are problematic after the first day. Sometimes it's not so simple to know what's called the psul hodah, what's called the psul chaser. One of the controversial psulim is that the esrog is missing a pitam. The most common problem, the esrog, you drop the esrog after the first day, so that's a machlekes of Rishonim. Is that a problem of chos? Is that a problem of hodar? So the post can basically assume that we have almost like a shtibul smeg sveka. So it's ready the third day chalamoy. The guy drops the esrog. He lost the pitam. So some Rishonim say the shchoroch paskim is like the Ram and the Ramban. Even if it's a psul of hodar, it's still okay after the first day. And even in terms of lemon, that's a psul of hodar. Even if in terms of lemon, that the hodar psulim are a problem, we're not sure it's a psul of hodar. Maybe it's just a psul of chaser, which would be okay. So in deference of this fake, it's probably all right. Mishabu writes, Liyasas Ace, if you have another little asterisk, so you make a bracha on another asterisk. But Mikra Din would probably be acceptable. This idea that many of the psulim, if not all the psulim, we're willing to be mevater, we're willing to be meichelon after the first day, or chutzlo, it's after the first 2 days, there are a series of other halachas that may not disappear after the first day. And one of them being a Lulav HaGozel. So those who were back with us back in the Lulav HaGozel days of last year. So we spent a lot of time on this. There's a machlekes in the Gemara about even though there's no din of lachemi after the first day, or the first 2 days, you can borrow Lulav HaNesrog on the third day Chalamoid. But the question is not, there's no question whether you can steal it or not. You're not allowed to steal it. Look, Sigzol applies even on Chalamoid Sukkot. But if you stole the Lulav, Are you b'di'evet allowed to use it for the mitzvah? What should be the problem? If there's no din of lachem, what's the problem? The problem is mitzvah b'avi aveira. So this was a big machlekes amaroyim, machlekes rishonim. Is this a problem or not? So there was machlekes rishonim. What the machlekes amaroyim was? So some rishonim said that the machlekes was, does mitzvah b'avi aveira apply at all? Is there such a thing called mitzvah b'avi aveira? So some rishonim about more, and others said, according to many, there's no such principle of mitzvah b'avi aveira. We don't accept that principle. No one's advocating stealing, and if you ask a shalak, can I steal? Well, the answer is, of course, not. But if the ever you stole it, so some Rishonim say there's nothing wrong with taking it after the first day. First day, it's not lachem, but after the first day, there's not after the first day. Second day, whatever it is, in chutz la'aretz, there's no din of mitzvah b'aveira bichlal. And other Rishonim tone it down. Tosfos writes in the beginning of Sliva Gaz Daf Lamed that nobody really says there's no din of mitzvah b'aveira. That's way too far. The opinion that says it's okay holds that there's no mitzvah b'aveira by mitzvahs there. Low-level mitzvahs, so Chazal never disqualified mitzvah b'avi aveira. So at the end of the day, there's machlekes in the Gemara. At the end of the machlekes, we show them what the machlekes is. Machlekes, what the bottom line is. The bottom line is nobody should steal Luvin Ezer. Don't steal Luvin Ezer. Don't get involved in the Shiloh. We spoke a little bit. We spoke for Shoshana. I forgot already which whether it was a Wednesday night. I remember about the borrowing somebody's chauffeur and blowing somebody's chauffeur. I forgot about it. We definitely gave it to Shiloh. So, I remember staring at some screen talking to somebody about this not that long ago. So we were talking about if you borrow somebody's chauffeur, so can you say there's a little bit of a lechem and chauffeur anyway? Can you say nichle leinish lemeva mitzvah b'mamone that people are happy, people are thrilled that other people doing mitzvahs with their property? So maybe I give it. If I didn't give him the screen, maybe I give him shul. Maybe I can't remember anymore. So there's a question whether you would say mitzvah nichle leinish lemeva mitzvah b'mamone. At the time, before Shoshana pointed out that the Rishonim pointed out that klal is only true if you don't close a hefset to some of these things. Let's say I borrow your svarim, so I rip your svarim. That's not nichle linish lemeva mitzvah b'mamone. So if I borrow your shofar and I blow into your shofar and then I set my germs into the shofar, now you're afraid to blow that shofar another 6 months until then any germs in there were sanitized. That's a humongous hefset. So that would throw out the question with the mitzvah lemeva. Would apply. That's the bad news. The good news is that there's no din of mitzvah b'aveira by shofar because the Rambam writes there's no din gezel on the shofar because the shofar is the mitzvah the kol. It's the shmo kol shofar. The mitzvah is not the chevtzah from the shofar, and therefore, as long as the kol, it's hot to steal a kol, so therefore you would still be okay with the evidence. We're not advocating stealing shofars all along for that matter. So over here, bottom line is we stole a lulav. Whether you could be yaitzeh after the first 2 days is highly questionable. There are other problems with a lulav and esrog after the first day that could for sure pose a problem. What if it's not a lulav and esrog? It's not a lulav and esrog. It's a stuffed lulav. It's a stuffed lulav. That's not a lulav. Obviously, you wouldn't be yaitzeh. The Ravid says that if you have a dry out lulav, so he thinks you're for sure not yaitzeh even the whole week. Because whatever is so dried out, it's kimandalase. It's like it doesn't exist. It's like holding air. It's not a lulav apostle. It's a non. It's a non-entity. It's like holding thin air in your hands. So there are shilas about at what point you say that something is mamish not here. Let's say if something is also banot, it's on sreifim in oilam. So maybe it's like susim mech the shiurei. So we spoke a lot about that in some of the shiurim. So that's supposed to be burnt. So maybe halachli it's not here. Let's say you have something that is here, and it looks like an esrog to me. But it's not really an esrog. What is it? It's a grafted. It's a murkav. So there is a famous discussion in the Acharonim as to why exactly a grafted esrog is possible. So it's interesting. And the Gemara doesn't talk about grafted esrog. Even the Rishayim don't talk about it. Shulchan Aruch doesn't talk about it. You get the impression that it wasn't such a hot topic that nobody thought of grafting esrogim. Somebody came up with a grandiose idea to start grafting esrogim to make a lot of money, make nice looking esrogim. So it became a whole tumult in the early Acharonim about what's the status of the graft when used to graft the esrog with the lemons. So all the Acharonim, just about everybody unanimously assume that it's a problem. Why exactly is it a problem? It's a little bit less clear why it's a problem. Some poskim said it's above Yavera because you're not allowed to graft the trees. It's a questionable application. It's above Yavera. Some said it's chaser because part of the esrog isn't really here because it's really part of his lemon. Those are questionable, svara, especially if a little bit chaser is a sort of hinder. It's very nice. It looks even nicer than a regular esrog. So it's hard to know exactly why it's possible. So this question was presented to Reb Chaim Brisker. They asked him, why doesn't the Shulchan Aruch tell you that a grafted esrog and murkav is possible? And all the poskim are saying it's possible. Why doesn't it say Shulchan Aruch? So Reb Chaim responded something along the lines is, does the Shulchan Aruch write that he's not allowed to take an apple on Sukkot. The Shulchan Aruch is not allowed to take a banana. I don't know if Rav Chaim gave the banana, Marshall. You have to eat bananas and bris. Did he say you're not allowed to take an orange? He said, I need the Shulchan Aruch to tell me that you're not allowed to take a different fruit. He said, the Torah says, look how pretty it's all, means an esrog. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, Chaim Adam Lita Lula the esrog and Asir Aravis. The subject of Chaim, an esrog amok, a Mizishkin esrog. It's a half esrog, half lemon. That's a new entity. It's a new species, a new mint. That's not called an esrog. So the reason why it's possible is because it's like taking a hip, it's like taking an orange. It's not called an esrog. An esrog means 100% genetically from top to bottom an esrog. It has half the genes of a lemon. That's called a new entity. It's a new chalashem. So if that's the case, according to Rav Chaim, then it would be not negotiable. It would be possible the whole week. If you hold, like some want to say, maybe it's a shalom chaser, it's a chaser's kosher for the first day. So if you hold it, it's a psul because it's not an esrog. So again, we try to go a little bit quickly to give a little bit of a synopsis of some of the Rashi Prachim, some of those who us. So hopefully this has touched on a little bit of Chazara. There is no form of Bechini after the Shirida. Those who joined us just for this year, I hope we enjoyed a little bit, just to get a little bit of what we've been learning for the last year or so. Hopefully, Mirat Hashem, so next week, Shirin Cholamoy, there'll be a special schedule, the Cholamoy Shirin. It's one of the milas of, we try to count the milas of the situation we're in right now. So one of the milas is that what I usually give my special Yom Tov Shirin Shul won't be taking place in the Shul setting. It's too logistically complicated this year to do it that way. So the same way we did Pesach, we had all the Shirin were done, spread out over Cholamoy. Hopefully, Mirat Hashem, next week, we'll have a Cholamoy Shirin spread out throughout the week, and then we'll see exactly what we'll be every night, some of the nights, and then hopefully it's next Thursday night, we'll try to have a tikkun leil Hoshana Rabba, which I can't say yet, you know, what shape or form that's going to take, whether there'll be any live component to that, or maybe Zoom also. We've all learned not to predict too much ahead in the future these days, so we'll play it by ear, but tentatively we're planning on having the Cholamoy Shurim, that'll most probably be on the Zoom setting. So as soon as things get formal, we'll keep you posted. Okay? We have one.
A question?